Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I think that we should start this thing with some scripture. We should make it legitimate. And so I will be reading from Acts 9, 10 to 19. And it says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again.' 'But Lord,' exclaimed Ananias, 'I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls on your name.' But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight, then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength." Why don't you give God a clap of praise for that scripture? It is absolutely incredible. And the title of my message today is simply this: Yes, Lord Responders. Yes, Lord Responders. And I believe that there is an invitation from God for us as a people to be yes, Lord Responders. And just like in the medical field, there are first responders, you know, whose people duty, and it's their right, and they literally are paid to be on watch and on call to respond to crisis situations. I personally believe that us as the people of God have the same duty to be on watch and on call to witness, to testify, and to tell other people about Jesus in our lives. And you know, the real goal of my message today, the real takeaway, is that I want myself and yourself, moms and dads, whoever you are, whatever demographic category you find yourself in today, in this room and online, my goal is that we would be people who would actually tell others about Jesus. That, you know, you would share your faith with your coworker. That your brother that doesn't know about God would hear your testimony of how you got saved. Or, you know, that coworker that you keep on seeing every single time you go to work, you would actually tell them about God when you feel prompted to do so. I believe it's more than a nice sentiment. I believe it is a call for us to be yes, Lord responders. So why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let me pray. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for this scripture. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate what needs to be illuminated. I pray, God, you would speak to the heart of every single listener, and God, that you would revive parts of our hearts to be yes, Lord, responders. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. So we just read a scripture about a man named Ananias and a man named Saul. And if you're not 100% familiar with the scripture, basically what happens is there is this man named Ananias. He's a disciple, and he's, you know, spending time with the Lord, and he has a vision from God where God interrupts him and says, "You know what, Lord, Ananias, I want you to go over to this street called Straight Street." And then he tells him about how there's this man who literally knows that someone's coming, and he has to go there and he has to tell this man about Jesus. And, you know, Ananias is like, "I'm a little bit scared. This man you're asking me to go talk to actually doesn't like me and doesn't like Christians." Why? Because at the time, this man named Saul, he actually believed that Jesus hadn't actually quite come to earth yet. So he believed that if you believed in Jesus, like, you were believing the wrong thing. So, you know, Saul doesn't like Christian people. And then so Ananias goes over, he's scared. But then we see this incredible miracle take place where this man named Saul encounters the presence of God, gets radically saved, and is the Apostle Paul that we now know, who writes majority of the New Testament, and it's an incredible miracle. So we ask ourselves, who is this Ananias? Who is he? And you know, there's actually three different Ananiases in Scripture. And there's one who did a pretty bad thing. If you know, you know. If you don't, just ignore it. Go explore it later. But this Ananias was a man who was described as a believer. He was a man described as a disciple. He had no obvious roles of ministry within the early church. He was simply a devout follower of God. And you know, to you and I, Ananias is incredibly relatable. He's incredibly relatable. And you know, we see the early church in a post-resurrection, post-Great Commission context. Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He's taken the penalty of sin and death on his life. He's risen and he's now seated on the throne, and anyone can believe in him. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether whatever ethnicity, whatever you have or have not done in your life, you can now have a relationship with Jesus. This is where we find the church in this time. However, Ananias is in a town called Damascus. And you see, Damascus was actually under Roman government, where Christianity was oppressed and even criminalized. So, you know, Ananias finds himself in a place that is not easy to evangelize in. And does that sound familiar to anyone in this place? Does that sound like some workplaces in this place? Does that sound like some family dynamics that we might know about? However, we still find Ananias willing to be a yes, Lord, responder, willing to say yes to the prompt of God, to tell another about Jesus and see this man radically saved. And you know, today, I simply want to unpack some keys of what Ananias did so that we can apply it to our lives and see the same outcome happen for us. And you know, the first thing we notice about Ananias is that he had a pre-decided yes. A pre-decided yes. Yes, Lord, responders have a pre-decided yes. We see Ananias respond to God. He's like, yes, Lord, in the vision, right before God actually tells him what to do. And that wording there is not just simply a response to someone talking to you. No, it's very explicit wording that indicates a heart posture of yes and submission to whatever is about to be said next. We see Ananias had a pre-decided yes. God, before you even ask me what to do, my answer is yes. But let's just be super honest in this place. Having a pre-decided yes to God in the realm of telling others about Jesus is a little bit challenging. Am I alone in the room today in thinking that having a pre-decided yes can be a little bit hard? You know, maybe for you, you actually felt prompted to invite that family member to the Easter services, but you didn't quite do it. Or maybe you know that there's that phone call that you need to make to that old school friend, but you've just been putting it off. You know, having a pre-decided yes, if we're super honest, is actually quite challenging. And so we ask ourselves this question, how can I have a pre-decided yes to God asking me to tell others about Jesus? And I just want to say, I don't believe that Ananias had immense amounts of self-control. I don't believe he was a man of absolute striving and was just able to do uncomfortable things even if he didn't want to do it. No, I believe we can cultivate a pre-decided yes from having intimacy with God. When I use this word intimacy, I mean we have an active relationship with Jesus where we know the character of God, where he speaks into the very fiber of our being, where we literally go to him for decisions, where it's a dynamic relationship where we speak back to the Father and he speaks to us. This is a small picture of intimacy with God. And I believe we see this same sort of wording, similar wording to yes, Lord, I'll give anything, I'll do anything, a pre-decided yes sort of phrase from the prophet Isaiah. It's a famously quoted scripture. People love to put it on their Instagram bios. They love to, I don't know, maybe even tattoo it on themselves. But it's the sentence, here I am, Lord, send me. And you know, we love that verse. We love to say it on an altar call. It's beautiful. It's I'll give anything language. It's God, whatever the cost. But you know what I love about that scripture? When the prophet Isaiah makes this statement, is we read verses right before, he actually has an encounter with the holiness and majesty of God, indicating to me that a pre-decided yes, a yes heart posture, is only from intimacy with God. We read, it says, Isaiah, "Woe to me, I cried, for I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty, the one with the serpent flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your sin and guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me. Go and tell this to the people.'" You see, the only appropriate response to the holiness and the majesty of God is, "Lord, I'll give everything. Lord, here I am, send me." Yes, Lord. If you struggle to have a pre-decided yes, my encouragement to you today is spend time in intimacy with God. Get to know the character of God, because when you see his holiness, you will only be able to see your inadequacy and his majesty, and the only appropriate response will be, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." The first thing that Ananias had is he had a pre-decided yes. And you know, the second thing that he did is he obeyed the prompt. He obeyed the prompt. And what I love is that Ananias wasn't necessarily praying for lost souls in the area. He wasn't actually, you know, being like, "God, send me whatever you want. I want to see the people of Damascus saved." No, he was simply spending time with the Lord. And God interrupted him with a vision, prompting him to go share his faith with another. And I just want to make something super, super clear, that it is totally normal. It is actually expected, and it should be a normal part of your relationship with God for him to prompt you to tell another about Jesus. If you haven't experienced that, I ask you the question, maybe you're not listening for that. What can a prompt look like? A prompt can look like anything. It can look like that same coworker popping up in your dreams at night. You just see their face time and time again. It can be that emotional feeling you feel towards that coworker. Literally, where you walk into the office and you're like, "I know that there's something going on there more than what meets the eye." Or it can be, you know, that sibling of yours that doesn't quite love Jesus anymore, and you feel for them every time you look at them in the eyes. Or it can be, you know, this like deep prayer that you keep praying about a specific area. We have many different prompts. We can't necessarily choose how God will prompt us, but we can choose to obey the prompt. And you know, there was actually a time in my life when I obeyed the prompt of God. And it was one of the first times. I was 16 years old and I was catching the bus home from school because my parents wanted to teach me life lessons and, you know, tagging on and off that smart rider. Built character, apparently. And so I'm sitting on the bus and I'm listening to this song called Wings by Little Mix. And if you don't know it, it was a banger when I was 16. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the song. And I'm sitting at the back because you're 16, you know, you don't sit at the front. And I'm sitting at the back and I just randomly get this like thought. It's just this random thought because this bus is approaching a stop. And it's like, "Get off that bus because there's a man there and his name's Rob." I was like, that was random. I'll just go back to singing my song. And then the thought, it just like stayed. You know, you're like, "Oh, it's kind of staying." So I was like, you know what? I'm trying to obey the prompts of God. I'll get off the bus. So I get off the bus and the man at the stop doesn't seem to get on the bus, which is strange because why would you stand at the bus stop? And then what happens is he actually walks away from the bus stop. And I'm like, the fate of God. Not today. Clearly, I read this one wrong. I will be hopping on the next bus as soon as possible. But no, the thought, it's not going away. I'm like, And so I decide I'm going to follow this man. And I start walking into the car park. I have no reason to be in this car park. And I start following him. And let me just set the scene of what this man was like. He was maybe not as tall as me, but definitely like triple my width. and he had an Everlast singlet on. And like, I don't, if you wear Everlast, that's totally fine. But like, I was concerned. So he's wearing this Everlast singlet and he's got these like sunnies on. And you know when you can like see yourself in the sunnies? So I was like, oh goodness gracious me. Maybe I'm going to be with the Lord today. And so I'm like, hey. Start like running after him, like a little awkward run. I'm like, hey, hi. So nice to meet you. And he's like confused while I'm talking to him. I'm like, this is so random. But you know, my name's Beck. And I believe in Jesus. And I was just sitting on the bus. And I just randomly had the thought that your name is Rob. And I guess God wants me to tell you that he knows your name. And this man gets the reflective sunnies. He puts them down. We're now making eye contact. I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. And he says, my name is Rob. And I'm like, no, wait, I'm 16. This is the first time this has ever actually worked. So I start freaking out. No way. That's crazy. And I get so excited that I'm like, oh, good. And I decide to leave. And then I'm halfway off. And I'm like, I should probably share the gospel with him. I should probably finish this. And so I go back to him. I'm like, hey, like, I share the gospel message with him. I'm like, Jesus clearly wants to have a relationship with you. He's like, yeah, wow. He's like saying some crazy words. And then his like wife or whatever she was comes over. And she's like more scary than he is. And she's like got this like shoulder brace on. And I'm like, you know what? Today's the day. Kill two birds with one stone. Let's pray for her shoulder. And so, you know, we pray for her shoulder. Rob lends his hand and she literally starts like saying these crazy words that I could never repeat ever again because now the pain from her shoulder is gone. And these people literally encountered the power of God at South Lake Shopping Center car park. Why? Because I obeyed the prompt. Because I obeyed the prompt. And you know, my question to you this morning and online, do you obey the prompts of God? Do you obey that random thought that you get? Do you obey that feeling that you feel towards that person that you always pass on your commute to work? Do you actually listen to your dreams where you see the people from your life come up time and time again? Do you obey the prompts of God? And you know, my favorite thing about what Ananias did is he obeyed the prompt of God, even while having hesitation, reservation, and fear towards what God had asked him to do. You know, we read, it says here, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many, many people talk about the terrible things this believer has done in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls upon his name. You see, Ananias is actually expressing legitimate worry and concern for what God has asked him to do. And you know, for us, that could look like confusion. God, is this prompt actually from you? For us, it could look like, you know, fear of delivery. I'm not quite sure what you want me to say. It can be a multitude of things. But my favorite thing is that, yes, we can go on a journey of like fear towards testifying about Jesus. Yes, we can go on a journey of understanding the voice of God and getting clarity. But while on the journey, you can still obey the prompts of God. And you know, we are sitting in a church today, a part of the Australian Christian Churches movement. Why? Because a scared Ananias decided to obey the prompt of God, testify to a man named Saul. He gets radically saved. He writes the whole parts of the New Testament, is a pillar of the early church and the Pentecostal movement that our church is fruit of. Why? Because a scared Ananias decided to obey the prompt. The second thing that Ananias did is he obeyed the prompt. And you know, the third thing that he did, and if the worship team can join me, is that he went with power. He went with power. And you see, he decides to obey the prompt, lays hands on a man named Saul, and sees a literal, not metaphorical, miracle take place, where physical scales fall off a man's eyes, where he sees something so profound and supernatural take place simply by the laying on of the hands to a man who doesn't even know Jesus. You know, testifying about Jesus is so much more than sharing your opinions or beliefs about a topic. It is not like recommending cleaning products, this one's really good. It changed my life. My family's been so different before. No, sharing about Jesus is something that is very supernatural, and we actually come under power when we do so. To see things that we couldn't see normally, to have signs and wonders, to see healings and miracles take place. You know, Acts 1:8 puts it like this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What is this word power in scripture? It's the word dunamis, which quite simply means a physical force, supernatural power. What it tells me is that when you talk about Jesus in your workplace, you're not simply sharing empty words, but you're engaging with power. That tells me that you can speak to the very core of someone's soul. That tells me that if that coworker keeps having migraines, your hand through the power of God can see a healing. If that person at, you know, the bus stop, when you catch your bus to work, you can actually see them radically encounter the presence of God. Why? Because we go with power. We go with power. And you know, the early church, they saw 3,000 people added to their church daily. You can read about it in Acts. It's inspiring. It's kind of like bone rattling what you read. And if we apply to us, that could be my friend, your coworker, that family member. And what I love about the early church is that their strategy for this was actually outreach. It was believers like you and I going out two by two into the shopping centers, into the parks, into the highways and the byways, telling other people about Jesus. It was not just invitations to a church service. It was people testifying about the good news of Jesus, sharing their testimony, laying on of hands, and seeing miracles take place. Their strategy was outreach. And what I want to say today at the 9 a.m. service and online is I believe the early church strategy remains the same. That if we want to see the people of Perth saved, if we want to see the people in your world saved, we need to be people that are yes, Lord responders, who actually take it seriously, who actually tell that coworker about Jesus, who actually tell that family member what the gospel message is. The strategy is outreach. And you know, I truly do believe that the times are changing. You can read about it. It's all over social media at the moment. They're calling it the silent revival. People are getting saved. It's actually happening. If you don't know, now you know. The harvest is truly ripe, but as scripture tells us, the workers are few. And the reality of being yes, Lord responders is that God decided to leave it upon us. It relies on you and I to be people, to pick up the mantle of evangelism and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.